Pain. I've felt pain. He's felt pain. That dude's felt pain.
What? No, I haven't felt any pain.
We've all felt pain, because you know what they say. The only things truly guaranteed in life is death and pain.
Wait, what about taxes?
Wait, what?
Is this chains for real?
No. And I hate to be all controversial here, but pain? That shit hurts, bro. Specifically, the little shit that just does one damage has no business hurting so bad. Like stubbing your toe or biting your tongue or fucking paper cuts. Like, that shit shouldn't even hurt, bro. It's paper. It's not scary. Oh, shit. And I still remember the first time in my life I ever took some real damage and felt some real pain. And it was back when I was 4 years old. Which, man, I was still learning the controls of life and shit. Like, yeah, I could run, but it was low-key like watching a dude play Fall Guys. If he was drunk, and fried, and asleep. But regardless, one day I was bored doing four-year-old shit, and then I seen my arch nemesis.
A fucking chair.
And I instantly knew what had to be done. I had to assert my athletic dominance by running and jumping over this chair. So I take a deep breath, I run up, jump, and clear this chair clean as hell. Now keep in mind, I was 4 years old, so that was probably the coolest shit I'd ever done in my entire life. So you know I had to show my mom to make her proud of the man I've become. Hey mom, watch this!
What the hell are you doing, Chains?
Hey, man, just watch and learn. Oh, shit. I fucking ate it, bro. Like, that was the type of pain that hits so hard, you can fucking taste it, and damn, that shit tasted ass, bro. Like, have you ever taken a soccer ball straight to the schnoz? Because that shit will have you smelling pain, tasting pennies, and seeing tears. Which is bad, but, like, who the fuck invented the funny bone, bro? Because that shit ain't funny. Like, bro, you can't just call some painful ass shit funny and expect it to be humorous.
No. The bone is called a humerus.
Yeah, shut up. How humorous is this, buddy?
Not humorous.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And in fact, I think it's the opposite of humorous. Like, yo, did you guys know one in four dudes is gay?
Yo!
Gee, I sure hope it's Owen, because he's sexy as hell.
Yeah. Y'all hit the funny bone, too.
Yeah,
I did. If I had a pain tier list that went from shit ain't nothing to... I'd probably rate hitting your funny bone a solid. It's the same as stubbing your toe real hard. Like, you just need a moment to take a few deep breaths and say a few slurs, and that shit just heals itself. But if we're looking at some top-tier, brutal, agonizing, excruciating pain, getting kicked in the balls. Now, for you 19.8% female audience, I know you might not be able to understand what this feels like. So let me just give you a quick overview. Imagine having balls, right? Now imagine getting kicked in them. That shit hurts like a bitch. I remember one time in grade 6, me and my homies were playing a good old game of soccer. And we were playing with the big homie. I mean, the really big homie. Like, the dude had more chins than a Chinese phone book. Like, last time we went to a restaurant, bro looked at the menu and said, okay. And I couldn't even tell you how big he really is, because last time he stepped on the scale, it said, one at a time, please. So what I'm trying to say is, he was a big dude, and big dudes got big legs, and big legs produce hard kicks. And during this grade 6 soccer game, I unfortunately found myself legs spread wide. Wide open, freshly dropped testes exposed to this absolute unit, wound up to kick the ball, and well, pain. Just pain, bruh. Followed by a moment of silence from everyone on the field. And I don't know if the moment of silence was for me or for my next generation of kids the big homie just wiped out, but I felt that shit. And I felt it in my stomach. And there was really only one sound I was able to make in that moment. Now I know what a lot of you guys are thinking. Getting kicked in the balls is nothing compared to childbirth. Childbirth is so much worse.
This guy's a misogynist.
And no. I don't give people massages. And I might be the first to tell you this, but I've experienced both getting kicked in the balls and childbirth. And honestly, childbirth wasn't even that painful at all for real. But to be fair, it was probably a little worse for my mom, so like... Now we all know physical pain very well, but what do you call that deep, torturous pain you feel when your dog dies? in Minecraft. That's that psychological pain, like the pain you feel when you're watching a banger YouTube video and an ad interrupts you out of knowledge. Or like the pain you feel when you just got done making some toast and peanut butter and that shit flops on the floor face first. It doesn't hurt physically, it hurts spiritually. Like, there really is levels to this shit, bro, because now when you start adding psychological pain onto the physical pain of things, we gotta start adding new tiers to this tier list. Because imagine peacefully sleeping in your bed and you get woken up to the pain of your girlfriend kicking you in the balls, which of course hurts physically, but then you realize you don't even have a girlfriend and you live alone. So just to knock a few more off this tier list, a razor scooter to the shin. Stepping on Lego is a solid. Now getting socked in the face is an interesting one, because that shit can range anywhere from all the way to getting the sonic range knocked out of you. And if that shit's a good enough punch, you might not even feel anything. Now for the tier, I would say that's the shit where you just take one damage, like eating some food that's too hot, or getting a brain freeze, or when you're laying in bed with your phone and that shit slaps you across the face. Like, it's just minus one HP, and minus five IQ. And if anyone's seen that shit, it's probably a lifetime dead of aura. Now I'ma keep it a stack. For something to be in the shit ain't nothing tier, it's just gotta be a good ass day, bro. Like, some days I'll just be feeling invincible, bro. Like, wake up, roll out of bed. Shit ain't nothing. Eat a nice hot breakfast.
Shit ain't nothing.
Stub my toe while simultaneously getting socked in the face. Shit ain't nothing. Get a bad phone call.
Yeah, Chains. This is Dr. D's. I'm sorry to break the news to you, but, you know, you tested positive for chlamydia.
Hey, man. Shit ain't nothing. Oh, shit. Who's this?
Yeah, I wasn't finished. You also tested positive for herpes, syphilis, gonorrhea, hepatitis. You got a whole ecosystem on your shit. Honestly, at this point, our best bet is just to chop that thing clean off.
Shit ain't nothing.
No, yeah, no. No, it's definitely something. We're chopping your meat off.
Yeah, but on some days, bruh, it's just like... Yeah, nah, that's it. I quit. I'm done. I'm going to sleep. Good night. And I know this might sound like some freaky ass shit, but I feel like some pain low-key feels good, bro. Like, in school, I used to always put the front chair legs on my feet just to feel the pain. Or even, like, eating some spicy ass food or, like...
Oh, yeah, or like, getting spanked.
Yeah, no?
The
no?
Fuck? Nah. Nah, I was thinking something more like taking a really hot shower or, like...
Getting
like,
whipped. No?
Yo, George, shut the fuck up, bro. I'm trying to make a video.
Sorry, my fault, pimp. My fault.
Yeah, alright. Or what about when you, like,
getting
you...
slapped in the face? Bro, shut the fuck up. Hey, yo!
My first time eating magic mushrooms. Now, this story takes place on a spooky Halloween night. And of course, when you're young, Halloween is about dressing up and getting candy from strangers. But as you get older, you grow to realize the true meaning of Halloween is to commit as many devious and malicious crimes in one night as humanly possible. Like when me and my homies first transformed from some young, innocent gentlemen into some unethical and deceitful delinquents, we planned out some criminal activities for our first teenager Halloween. Yo, trick-or-treating is for nerds, where we're gonna drink alcohol and smoke grass.
Woo! Yeah.
That is so teenager. So you know, we drink their drink and we smoke their grass. Man. I sure could fuck up some Reese's Pieces right now. Not gonna lie, some Skittles would be fire. Alright, fuck it. So we threw on last year's Halloween drip and shamelessly went trick-or-treating baked as fuck.
Trick-or-treat.
Aren't you guys a little bit old to be trick-or-treating? No, but we got our candy, and we went back to Billy's crib, and the munchies took over. I mean, we fucked that shit up so fast that we changed costumes, and we spun the block.
Trick-or-treat.
Didn't you guys already come here?
No. There's a snake in my boot.
So all Halloween, me and the gang pretty much just ate chocolate. But by the time next year rolled around, okay, this Halloween is going to be the best Halloween yet. But how can we top last year? Yeah, we already smoked grass and ingested alcohol well underaged. Cause I got these. This dude, Billy, whips out a handful of shrooms. And honestly, Billy didn't even need to convince us, cause me and Bob were trying to have the best Halloween ever. So we split it up and we all down a sizable amount of magic mushrooms for our first time. And let me tell you, there are many smooth ways to consume some magic mushrooms. One being the pizza technique, as well as the good old PB and Shroom Sammy. However, we had smoked and we had drank before, but magic mushrooms were completely out of our expertise. So we just choked them shits down raw. And it was strange. It tasted like I just ate earth, if earth was dry as fuck and like chewy. But about 20 minutes after eating the shrooms, Billy has a genius idea. Okay, hear me out. We go trick-or-treating, collect some candy real quick, and come back. So when these mushrooms hit, we can be eating good. Okay, wait, then we need some costumes. Okay, I do have 3 costumes, but like, just don't ask any questions, okay? Why do you have no questions, bro? Now let's go get this bag of candy. So we're mobbing around the neighborhood in some gangster Teletubby suits. And we roll up to the first house, like... Trick or treat. Aw, you guys are so cute. And we were banging out house after house. But after about 4 houses, I started to notice my Teletubby mitts were looking a little suspicious. But I didn't have time to think about the psychedelics that were potentially invading my brain, because I had bigger priorities. Go cop some Halloween candy.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
But as we walked up to the 8th house, I was undeniably tripping balls. Cause as I looked up at Bob, I just started uncontrollably laughing my ass off. And Bob's shrooms must have kicked in too, because we were both just hysterically laughing at each other for no reason. But then the door opened and I saw this tall ass bald dude with an unconceivably large smile on his face. I mean, the shrooms made it look like his smile was just unproportionately big, and I just assumed it was a Halloween mask.
Man, I love your Halloween costume.
What costume?
Oh, holy shit. We need to get home ASAP.
So we're making our way back home, tripping balls in our Teletubby costumes, and I'm just seeing the stars falling out of the sky. Then out of nowhere, Billy yells, "What the fuck is that?" I'm probably just tripping, but it looks like zombies running towards us at full speed.
Oh, yeah. I see it too.
Oh shit, we gotta run. So me, Billy, and Bob start booking it back to Billy's house. And I am hauling ass, because there is no way I'm getting packed up by some zombies right now. And when I look back, I don't see some zombie costume. No, I see some real ass zombies. Like, bones sticking out, eyeballs look like they haven't blinked in centuries. And that shit just made me run faster. Because to me, this was a life or death situation. I mean, in reality, it probably just looked like... Ah!
360,
we get back to Billy's crib.
Holy shit, get in.
Lock it. And we were not taking any chances. I mean, we barricaded every single door in the entire house. And for a second, it was a horrible trip. I mean, I thought I was in the zombie apocalypse. But once we settled down, we were having the time of our lives, chilling and eating candy while tripping balls.
Booga!
High school. The only place you'll find nerds and jocks chilling in the same room. Where there's fight clubs and book clubs in the same building. Where you can find the plug selling something and the school thought giving dome all in the same bathroom. And surely one of the few places you can pursue your educational prowess and to get off that Benjamin in the same institution. High school, man. Love it or hate it, it's quite the experience. And although every single person will have a different experience at high school, there are some things you are guaranteed to encounter. Like the PE sweat, the nerd, that one strict-ass teacher, the teacher's pet, the Redditor, the predator, the chill teacher, the plug, the stoner, that one motherfucker who walks like this, the class clown, the band kid, the kid who just never shows up, the hot Cheeto girl, that one sexy ass kid who you got all the girls and you know what I'm saying, he was like super cool, the bathroom fiend, the oh my god I almost failed that test, I did so bad, oh shit same, I got a 51%, what about you, oh my god I only got a 98.5, the fighter, the anime kid, and the NPCs. Every single one of these individuals make up the magical place we call high school. You come into high school merely a young, innocent, and clueless child. But you leave even more clueless than before, bro. Like when we learned about pie in math class, my dumbass thought I was in culinary arts for 2 goddamn weeks. And that is pie. Chains, are you listening? Yeah, we're learning about pie. Then recite pie. Flour, egg, some fucking blueberry. Like coming into high school as a freshman, I was thinking, I can use my high school experiences and knowledge to figure out what I'm gonna do in life. Then shit, all of a sudden I'm graduated and my brain is filled to max capacity on bullshit. So now that you're graduated, what are you gonna do with your life?
The mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
But one of the most majestic parts of high school is the bathrooms, bro. Like, it's a proven statistic that only 1 in 30 kids actually go to the bathroom to take a piss. And Lord knows what the other 29 are doing, bro. I mean, it could literally be anything from a secret fight club to a drug ring to a fucking Bible study. Like, nothing is out of the picture when it comes to high school bathrooms, bro. But the bathrooms are not the only place where some fuck shit goes down. Cause you know high school students love to see fights, so when there's the slightest hint of beef, there's a motherfucker instigating that shit. Oh shit, my bad, bro. Nah, it's all good, don't worry. Yo, personally, I wouldn't take that shit, bro. What? Nah, it's fine.
Like, he practically just called you a bitch.
Wait, really?
No, it was an accident.
Wait, what's that? Oh shit, he just said he's smoking on your grandma's pack right now. Hey, don't be talking about grams like that. Ah, shit. But tell me why when some entertaining shit happens, I just happen to miss school that day. Like, I'll go every day of the month, but I get sick for one day? Damn, I'm glad as fuck I'm not at school right now. Yo. Holy shit, Chains, where are you?
I'm in my bed right now, why?
Ooh. Jeremy and Tom are running the ones right now.
Fuck, the one day I didn't go.
Wait, what's that in the background?
Oh, shit, yeah, they got Lil Uzi performing at school today.
What? Uzi's at our school?
Yeah, check it out.
Yo!
Oh, and they brought in Gordon Ramsay cooking up free lunch today as well.
What? Oh, and I almost forgot. Elon's pulling up and giving everyone what? Teslas.
I'll see you later, man.
But listen, high school is nothing like these movies painted out to be. Like, all these movies portray the same shit, where Victoria and her goon squad make fun of Ruby, and where Chad and the football team shove Arthur in a locker. Like, I've only seen a motherfucker get shoved into a locker once in my life, and to be honest, I couldn't even see much of it. I mean, it was pretty fucking dark in that locker, bro. But for real, in high school, you don't have to worry about some big body taking your lunch money, or some football kid slapping the books out of your hand. The worst thing you'll encounter on your average day at school is your local Redditor. I don't know how they do it, but somehow every joke they make is so unfunny that it just ruins my day, bro. Do you smell that?
Yeah, Jeremy. That's what happens when you don't shower in 2 months.
No, it smells like sussy baka. Like Among Us. But not to confuse Redditors with Discord mods. I mean, they're pretty much the same thing, but Discord mods shower even less. To be honest, there is truly only one thing mustier than a Discord mod, and that's the cafeteria food, bro. I mean, this food is completely and utterly ass. Like, somehow these motherfuckers managed to get the food cold and the drinks warm. Like, how the fuck does that shit happen? And my high school would serve some daily specials, and to be honest, that shit was unidentifiable. Like, you'd see this pile of mysterious substance, and I'd ask the person who made it what it is, like, what's the special today? You're holding it right now, dumbass. No, but like, what is it? Oh, I don't fucking know. And my school refused to pay people to make good food, so they had students making all the food. So you'd be eating a burger and look up at the person making them, and they'd just be casually scratching their ass. And even with all this free labor, tell me how these motherfuckers have the audacity to be charging $6 for 3 chicken strips, bro. That's $2 for one small, soggy piece of some shit that's probably not even chicken. I mean, that shit is a robbery. And speaking of robbery, the high school change rooms are shockingly similar to Detroit. And we all know, you can't have shit in Detroit. Like, if you leave anything not locked up, it's gone, bro. Your iPhone, gone. $5, finessed. 2-week-old rotten sandwich. Someone's taking that shit. And to be honest, even if you lock that shit up, it's still at high risk. Like, let me paint the picture a little bit. This is PJ. PJ locks all his beloved belongings in his good old PE locker before heading to play some soccer. After scoring a hat trick, PJ comes back to the change room to reacquire his belongings, only to find out someone took PJ's whole goddamn locker. PJ was devastated. Until he remembers, he can check the school's security cameras.
Yeah, take a look.
Yeah, take that shit, take that. Yeah, we'll.
PJ never got his shit back. Now, I don't know about your guys' high schools, but mine was equipped with security cameras everywhere, covering every square inch of the school. But these cameras had the resolution of a fucking toaster. Like, you could have a motherfucker commit a heinous crime. He could proceed to put his face in the camera, state his government name, address, and date of birth, and you would still have no clue who did it, bro. And of course, the teachers. Teachers have the ability to make or break your high school experience. So real quick, let me go over some of the teachers you will encounter in high school. The angry teacher. The chill teacher. The lazy ass teacher. The funny ass teacher. The teacher who doesn't know how to teach shit. Miss Cakenson. The teacher who wants to be the chill teacher, but shit just doesn't work. That teacher that plays videos all class. The gym teacher with several allegations. The weird science teacher. And the teacher who subscribed to Chains For Real. Wow, what a G. And that's high school in a nutshell.
Man, growing up, I was a great kid. I was a good kid. Man, growing up, I was a kid, bro. And as a kid, you hit a certain age where your own parents become your number one op. Like,
hey, mom, can I go to this girl's house?
No.
Hey, mom, can I sleep over at Billy's crib?
No.
Hey, mom, can I go do crack under the bridge with my new friend Jorge? Hey.
Hell no.
Come on, all my friends are allowed to.
Yeah. Okay, well, if all your friends jumped off a cliff, you're not just gonna...
Now, to be fair, my mom wasn't the strictest parent out there. I mean, I've seen motherfuckers get the belt for speaking too loud, speaking too quiet, bro, for speaking at all. Like, one time, me and my friend wanted to have a sleepover, so homie went inside to go ask his mom, and he came out looking like he got a whooping from Prime Goku, bro.
Yo, what the fuck happened back there, man?
She said no to me, but... I think if you asked her, she would say yes.
Bro, are you fucking insane? I'm not asking her shit.
Like, I really can't complain, because some of my friends' parents were so strict, they had a fun limit, bro.
Yo, George, we're gonna hoop after school. You wanna pull up?
Damn, dude, I'd love to, but, man, I watched a movie yesterday.
Okay. So do you wanna play basketball?
Dude, I want to, but my fun meter's maxed out, man. My mom won't let me leave the house till Monday.
Holy shit, fun meter maxed out for a week off a movie? Yo, what's this movie, bro?
Yeah, what? Yeah, no, it was good, man. It's called the VeggieTale movie.
Yo, George, I feel bad for you, bro.
Cause don't get me wrong, I've seen a lot of kids with super strict parents turn out to be straight A students, go to good colleges, stay with a good crowd of people.
But with that being said, a lot of these kids whose parents were too strict to let them watch fucking SpongeBob, they end up going to college and catching Krusty Krabs after letting a dude named Patrick explore their bikini bottom, bro. Nah, but for real, my mom was far from one of those parents. I mean, she was reasonable, but the thing was, all my friends were a year older than me. Now, mentally, we were all dumb as shit, but when you hit that 12, 13, 14-year-old age, that 1 year is the biggest difference, bro. Like, us doing shit together just didn't look right.
Yo, Bob, can you pass the Zot? Yo, Billy, let me hit that.
Yo, pass me that shit, cuz. And cuz of this, I wasn't allowed to do a lot of the shit that my friends were allowed to do. Like, these boys could stay up past 10:30 p.m. on a weekend. I could not. They could have a sleepover on a weeknight. I could not. They could all go to a girl's house without having to call her goddamn parents. I could not, bro. Cause have you ever pulled up to a function? Motherfuckers are drinking. Motherfuckers are doing drugs. And you gotta ask the host to speak to her parents? Hey, Kelly. Hey, killer party you got here. By any chance, can my mom talk to your mom so I can stay and, like, turn up and shit?
Oh, shit.
And when you're 12 and all your friends can do shit that you can't do, you're left with just two options. You can either be a good kid, follow the rules, do your homework, eat your broccoli, or you could be a bad kid, break the rules, fuck your homework, and smoke that broccoli. And boy, did I make the wrong decision. I remember the first time my mom caught me lying was back when I was in grade 7. It was just an average Saturday posted up at Billy's crib. Yo, y'all boys know Rosa? Yeah, I know Rosa. What's up? Bro, she's throwing a birthday party at her crib tonight. Aw, shit, man. We about to get freaky deaky on
boy, I'm about to get so drunk I forget how to speak.
Oh, God, bro. Dead ass. That's facts. For real. Hey, Mom. I'm just calling to remind you how much I love you. Oh, I love you too, Chains. What do you want? So, me and my closest friends got invited to a small little get-together at my friend Rose's house. Can I go, please? Let me talk to her parents. Okay, now, I was actually friends with Rosa, but she was 2 years older than me. So, I swallow my pride and text Rosa some along the lines of, hey, Rosa, my mom wants to talk to your mom before I can come. And she's like, aw, baby boy needs permission. Fuck. And then she sends me her mom's number. So, I connect my mom with Rosa's mom. My mom gives me the green light, but says, you have to be home at 10:30 p.m. sharp. Say no more, Mom. So me and my homies start getting fresh. We're all up in Billy's dad's expensive cologne collection. I take the coolest looking bottle. Little spray here, little spray there. Had me smelling like Tom Ford. Still looking like Thomas the Tank Engine. But after looking as fresh as possible, we head to Rosa's crib. So we hop on the bus, hop off the bus, walk up to her house, knock, and the birthday girl opens the door.
Happy birthday.
Hey, Billy, Bob, and Chains. I was waiting for you guys.
Happy birthday, Rosa.
Oh, damn, Chains, you smell good.
Appreciate it. That's that Thomas Fordinson, you know what I mean?
So Bob, Billy, and I go inside, and we realize the gravity of this situation.
Oh, shit.
God damn.
Rosa invited, like, 10 of her girlfriends and, like, 2 of her cousins, bro. We were completely outnumbered in the greatest way possible, bruh. As I'm just doing some quick math on the ratio, there's a knock on the door. Rosa opens it, and it's Dennis holding a bottle of vodka. Now, we're friends with Dennis, Rosa's friends with Dennis, but to put it simply, Dennis was a bad kid, bro. This motherfucker was living life with no precaution, no regrets, no morals, but to be fair, he was fun as fuck, bro, because when Dennis pulled up, the party got lit, bro. We were taking shots, dancing, playing beer pong, taking more shots. We were having a marvelous time, and I was drunk, okay? Not too drunk, but not just tipsy. I had hit the perfect sweet spot of drunk. I got all the stat boosts of being funnier, more confident, more smiley, but I still had full control of my body, so I started applying that pressure, bruh. Hey, don't y'all both have ugly boyfriends?
No, what the fuck?
No.
Shit. Y'all want one?
What? Damn, you smell good, though.
Appreciate it. I showered this week.
I don't remember what I actually said, but all I know is that in grade 7, cologne was overpowered, bro, because nobody was smelling good, and if they tried, they would just smell like Axe, dog. So I'm over here combining the powers of Tom Ford with the confidence of Smirnoff. Had me feeling like I'm him, bro.
So how y'all feeling?
I'm honestly feeling amazing. How you feel?
Shit, I'm feeling good. Just a little, you know, just a little bit tired.
I vividly remember sitting on that couch with these two girls never wanting this moment to end, bruh. But when I look up, I see one girl crying, one girl looking for something, Dennis helping her look, and Billy and Bob are all ready to dip. So I hop off the couch for a second like, yo, what's going on?
Yo, so Dennis just finessed like three of these girls' vapes, and we're not trying to get blamed, so we're about to dip.
Bruh, for real?
Yeah, you coming?
Bro, but like, bro, I'm not ready to leave yet.
Yeah, nah, it's cool. Don't worry about it. Just text us when you leave, bro.
Ah, shit. All right, peace, bro.
Peace out, dog.
So Bob and Billy dip. I see Dennis's ass sneak out through the back door. And at this point, I have no clue how long I've been here, bro. But the party had died down to essentially just the girls who are gonna sleep over. And me, bro. So I go to check what time it is on my phone. And it's 10:15, bro. My curfew's 10:30, and I'm a 30-minute bus ride from home. But if we're keeping it a buck right now, I don't even want to go home, bro. I made it to the girls' sleepover, and I didn't even have to ride the group dildo or nothing. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So I text my mom, and I lied, bro. While Billy and I are almost at Billy's house, can I sleep over at his house, please? Then I threw my phone away, hopped back on the couch, and went right back to my happy place. So I'm posted up with these two laughing, cracking jokes when Rosa walks up like, yo, Chains, where'd your friends go? They abandoned me, Rosa. They left me here stranded with no way home. Shit, I mean, you could just stay here if you want.
Say less! So...
Appreciate it. And eventually, all the girls gave up on trying to find their vapes. They all gathered around to play truth or dare, and I prayed for times like this, bro. I was deep in enemy lines, and I didn't want it any other way until one of the girls sees my phone on the ground and is like, hey, Chains, I think someone's calling you. So she tosses me my phone. I check it. And I got 20 missed calls from fucking everyone in my contacts, bro. So I'm trying to be strategic with it to find out what's going on. I call Billy first. Yo, what's happening? Bro, so your mom called my mom and asked if you were here yet at my house. And my mom told your mom that you're not even here, bro.
Aw, shit. What do I do?
Bro, I don't know. And everyone knows when you get caught in a lie, you should just fess up, tell the truth, and apologize.
But I doubled down, bro. So I called my mom and I'm like, hey, mom, we're almost at Billy's house. We just missed our second bus.
Where are you?
I'm at Stickman Middle School bus stop. You know, like, we're super close. We're just waiting for the bus to come.
I'm picking you up right now.
Fuck me, bruh. Now, not only is she expecting all three of us to be together at this bus stop, shit, not a single one of us is there, bro. To put this in perspective, my house is right here, Billy's crib is right here, and Rosa's crib is all the way over here, bruh, and Stickman Middle's somewhere near the middle. And so I pull up the bus app on my phone and see the next bus is coming in 2 minutes. And with all that adrenaline pumping through my veins, I jump up out the couch, steal a piece of gum, and haul absolute ass to the bus stop, bruh. I get there right on time, hop on the bus, and I call Billy. Yo, dog, I think I'm cooked. I told her I'm at Stickman Middle with you guys.
Dude, why the fuck would you do that?
Shit, I don't know. I'm busing there right now.
Bro, if she sees you there without us, you're cooked beyond belief.
I know, bro.
Yo, we're on our way.
So Bob and Billy hop on scooters and start hill-bombing their way down to the bus stop to save my ass, and this shit was a race to get to the bus stop before my mom does, because if she catches me there alone, I'm cooked. If she catches Bob and Billy there before me, I'm cooked. If she gets there before anyone, I'm fucking done, bro. So I'm on the bus just praying, and when I finally get to the bus stop at Stickman Middle, I get out and take a deep breath because my mom's not here. But I'm shitting my pants because neither is Bob or Billy. And so I'm calling them, no answer. And I look down the road, I see some headlights. And this was not a busy street, bruh. And as the car is getting closer and closer, I can feel the anger radiating from the whip. I can almost hear the belt making contact with my cheeks. And the car pulls up, and it's just some random dude driving by.
Yo!
These motherfuckers, Bob and Billy, come flying down the hill. They get to the bus stop, throw their scooters in the bush, and pretend like we've been waiting here for an hour. Oh, gee, Wilkers, man. I can't believe we missed this bus, dude.
Billy, pray for me, bro. Get in the car.
I get in my mom's car. I'm stone fucking sober. My heart is pounding. Why did you lie to me?
Well, I honestly wanted to spend more time at my friend's house because we were just having fun.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed, Chains.
That shit hurt way more than any punishment ever would have, bro.
So even though Bob and Billy clutched up for me, I still got grounded, bro. But I did learn a valuable lesson. Just tell the truth, bro. It makes everything easier.
A imagine putting in hard work, time, and dedication into saving up for some new shoes. You go to Foot Locker and find the perfect pair. You try them on. You check them out. And you cop them. And even though you spent your last $200 on these shoes, you're happy. Because you feel fresh as fuck, and these J's might actually get you some bitches. But as you're leaving the mall, a gang of motherfuckers wearing shiesties take those J's right off your feet. Leaving you shoeless, broke, depressed, and with absolutely zero bitches. Now, personally, I wouldn't let that slide. However, when I was just a young, wholesome boy in 7th grade, I still wouldn't have let that slide. But I was weak as shit, so it would have slid anyway. I mean, in 7th grade, I could have got my ass beat by Hezbollah, bruh. I was a walking lick, which is exactly why I got a story for y'all today. So as I said, this story takes place in 7th grade, where I was young, innocent, and built like a string bean, bro. So one Friday night, me, Bob, and Billy were going to this girl's house for the three-man mission. The plan was simple. There was three of us and three of them. We would put on a scary movie, and if everything went to plan, we would get some cheeks. Now, just earlier that day, I had copped some fresh ass Jordans, so I've got a little confidence boost as we walk up to this girl's house. So we knock on the door, they open it, and we go inside. Now we stuck to the plan. We put on some cheesy horror movie, and one thing led to another, and by the end of the movie, Bob had all three girls, bro, and me and Billy were in the corner playing Bloons Tower Defense. Don't ask me how this shit happened, I don't want to talk about it. So after hours of me and Billy straight fumbling, we all decide to go home. And although I was a little disappointed in my performance tonight, I put on my brand new uncreased Jordans and I remembered, damn. Even Curry airballs sometimes. Now the bus route back to Bob's crib took two buses. So we hop on the first bus, it takes us to the next stop, and as we're getting off, we see the second bus we need drive right by us. Fuck, is that our bus? Damn, yeah it is. Wait, check when the next one comes. Yeah, it shouldn't be long. Damn, bruh, the next bus comes in an hour. So we have no choice but to wait at the bus stop for an hour. So we wait and wait, and at this point, it's already getting late. I check the time, and it's already 11 p.m. As we were sitting there, bored as hell, waiting for this bus to come, one of the other buses stops in front of us to let someone off. The person gets off, and as the bus starts leaving, we hear this loud thud come from the bus. What the hell? What was that? Oh shit, it's a baton. And as we're analyzing this baton that seems to have fallen out of the sky, some motherfucker wearing a shiesty walks up to Billy like, give me that shit, and straight snatched the baton out of Billy's hands. And Billy froze up. Bro was scared shitless, straight bamboozled. And the way the bus stop was set up was there was a main road, the bus stop, and behind the bus stop was a small hill with bushes on top. And when I say this shit looked like something out of a movie, I mean this dude wearing a shiesty walks back up to the top of the hill and a group of five other dudes walk out from behind the bush and they're shiestied up too, bro. They had to have been in at least grade 12, and to a 7th grader, that is scary as fuck. And I was no genius, but as that group of shiesties came out of the bushes looking like a GTA 5 cutscene, I came to the consensus that they were up to no good. Yo, those Jordans are looking my size. And this was the moment I realized I was about to get my shit robbed. So I started analyzing my surroundings and calculating my options. Maybe I can talk my way out of this. Hey sir, how's your day today?
Shut up.
I said, what size are the shoes? Damn, I can't fight them. It's a 3-on-5, and they got the high ground, and they got a baton, bro. They would knock my ass out and take the shoes. But I'm fast. So if I take a right, then make a left, there's no way they can catch me. Wait, fuck, I can't run. I'd crease my Jordans. And just as I had ran out of options, Billy says the last words I would expect to come out of this man's mouth. Wait, Ethan?
Yo, who the fuck? Oh shit, Billy. Oh, I didn't know it was you, bro.
Man, Ethan, you had me scared for a second.
Damn, my bad, pimp. My bad,
yeah,
my bad.
No, you're good. How's your mom doing?
Oh, yeah, she's doing good. Yeah, it's great to see you,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you too, bro. See you around.
All right, peace out.
Y'all, don't worry. I seen a kid over there with some new forces we can snatch.
Oh, yes, sir.
I bet.
Man, he's a good dude.
Nah, bro. He just tried to rob me. Who the fuck was that?
Oh, that's my longtime homie, Ethan.
Why do you know him?
Oh, yeah. We went to the same preschool.
Same preschool? That dude looks 20, bruh.
Oh, yeah, no, he is. He just got held back a few times.
Held back in preschool? How the fuck do you get held back in preschool?
Oh, he used to beat up the other kids and then take their toys.
Oh shit. Makes sense.
So we bust back to Bob's crib, and as we're walking to Bob's front door, I stepped in mud. Bruh. My very first time getting a taste of that enchanted broccoli. It was a very special time in my life. In fact, it shaped me to become the stick man you see today. Now, if you've seen this video, you would know my very first time being baked was also my first time being drunk. Cause you see, what happened was I had ate some magic brownies and they didn't kick in for a while. So I came to the solid conclusion that, bro, these edibles ain't shit. So I chug some vodka and next thing I know, I'm fucking obliterated. And through me mixing these two substances for the very first time of trying each, I was unable to truly take in the full experience of being zooted. Cause I was fucking slumped. So fast forward about a month after the edible incident, me and Bob were trying to see what being baked really felt like. Keep in mind, we were in grade 7 at this point, and at Stickman Middle School, you got +3 clout points if you ever smoked some grass. So naturally, we were fiending for some Mary Jane, and we had just the person to call.
Yo, Billy.
Hey, what's up? Me and Bob were trying to smoke some marijuana.
Shut up. The feds might have tapped my phone, bro. Chill.
Oh, shit. My bad. I meant we're trying to blow some pipes.
Hey, yo, pause. What the fuck?
We're trying to inhale Satan's spinach? I don't know.
I bet. I got some gas for you boys. Meet me at Stickman Park at 6 p.m. sharp.
Okay, bet.
And soon enough, it was 6 p.m. sharp, and we were posted at Stickman Park. The homie Billy pulls up fully equipped with the gas.
Yo, we gotta find somewhere discreet to do this.
Oh, let's do it in the trees over there.
Alright, that works.
So we walk into this little forest with a bench in it, and Billy whips out the pipe.
What the fuck
is that?
It's a pipe. I took it from my sister's room.
Bro, are you sure you didn't accidentally take her dildo instead?
Shut up, bro. Lots of people smoke out of these bad boys.
I don't know. There's just something about the way that it's shaped.
Are we smoking or not?
Yeah, we're smoking.
And then Billy takes out a plastic bag with a thug ass.
Yo, take a whiff of this shit.
And at this point, I had never got a sniff of the za before. So when I did take a whiff,
damn, that's some strong shit right there.
Hell yeah.
And I got it from the plug for 50% off.
Damn, bro, this is gonna get us high as hell.
So Billy packed the pipe and handed it to me. He whipped out the lighter and said, suck it.
Hey, yo, pause.
Oh my, alright, inhale.
Oh, I got you.
And there it was, my very first hit of the Zaza. And I was coughing up a storm. And as Bob was taking his hit, I was sitting there like, am I high yet? Like, is this what it's supposed to feel like?
Nah, you gotta smoke some more to get baked.
So Billy packs some more into the pipe and hands it to me. I inhale. But still nothing. So me and Bob are looking at each other like,
bro, are we like invincible or some shit?
I think so.
And Billy's like, no, you have to inhale and hold it in your lungs for as long as possible.
So I try it. I inhale, I held it, and then I was coughing up a storm again. We repeated these steps for like 20 minutes and still nothing.
Now, me and Bob didn't know shit when it came to the topic of devil's lettuce, so we were just taking Billy's word for everything.
Yo, don't worry, it'll hit you in like an hour.
So we walk back to Bob's crib, and sure enough, an hour goes by.
Yo,
Are you high yet?
Nah, I still feel normal. What about you?
Yeah, I'm chilling.
So we waited and waited all night, and nothing happened. Now, a quick scientific analysis of the situation. What had happened was, Billy's plug saw that he was 13 and realized he could make a quick buck off him. So he had given him 50% off, however, he gave him straight stems. Now, if you're not sure what this means, let me break it down for you using, enchanted broccoli. Now, we all know that broccoli is a nutritious vegetable. However, a wide majority of the nutrients are packed directly in the broccoli crown, leaving the stem of the broccoli with very small amounts of nutrients in comparison to the top part. This means that eating the top part of the broccoli will indeed make you big and strong. However, the stem itself lacks the capacities to, quote unquote, make you big and strong, if you know what I'm saying. Remember, eat your broccoli. So essentially, me and Bob were smoking that doo-doo pack, smoking straight Reggie. So Bob and I felt as though we needed some redemption, and we knew just the perfect day to do it. April 20th, 420. So today was the day we would really know what being zooted felt like. So me, Billy, and Bob went over to our homie's house, cause we knew this homie in particular would have the facilities to celebrate April 20th. So we knock on his door, he lets us in, and the first thing this motherfucker says is,
"So, are we smoking fat today or what?"
"Hey, yes, sir. Alright, follow me." So we followed the homie into his mom's room, and when he opened her closet, she was equipped with every kind of grass you could imagine. He snatched a few pre-rolls and we went to his backyard. He lit up the first J and passed it straight to me. And after all these years, it felt as though my entire life had led me up to this very moment. I took a hit and got my real first taste of that Mary Jane. So we passed around the J's for a bit and my eyes and mouth started to dry up. So I'm like, "Alright, I'm gonna go get some water really quick." And the moment I stand up, it all hits at once. I just remember everything going into slow motion, and it felt like I was watching myself in a movie. Almost like it was a third person perspective. So I head into the homie's bedroom and I lay down on his bed because I was really trying to comprehend what the fuck was going on. Cause my frame rates were dropping, my time perception was fucked, and I was hungry as shit. So when Billy, Bob, and the homie walk into the room with snacks, bro, I was a munch. And so for the rest of the night, the four of us just chilled out, ate some snacks, and enjoyed our very first time with that enchanted broccoli.
Now, I really don't have many fears, but there are four things that I would say I'm truly scared of, which are sleep paralysis, being flipped over while I'm in a porta potty, this thing, and public speaking. And honestly, I can't even really explain why I'm scared of public speaking. I mean, sleep paralysis, you'll have demons chilling in your room while you can't move. The whole porta potty thing, that's just some traumatic shit. And this thing is fucking terrifying. But there's just something about talking in front of more than five people that has me shitting bricks. Like, my brain will start showing me the absolute worst case scenarios possible. hi guys, my name is Chain.
Get off the stage, loser.
No one likes you. hi guys, my name is... So I volunteer at daycares because I really like young kids. I love young kids. I mean, not love, like they're only 4 years old. No, like, I'm not attracted to...
Sir, hands behind your back.
That's why I'm scared of public speaking. And even worse than normal public speaking was school speeches. And if you saw my going to school high video, you would know I have a pretty bad record when it comes to speeches.
Sorry, Tyrannosaurus Rex has short arms. Yeah, it changed. Don't worry about it. You can sit down. You could just go tomorrow. It's alright.
In fact, after I failed miserably while trying to present my speech well zooted, some motherfuckers was flaming me for it. So you know me, I had to get my get back. So when speeches came around next year, I put my heart and soul into that shit. And it wasn't just a speech, it was a spoken word, so it all had to rhyme. I mean, I was whipping up some heat. I was writing bar after bar like Kendrick. Shit, I had to have a fire extinguisher on standby while I was writing that shit. And I was never the dude to actually study. Like, I would start learning while I was taking the tests. If Y equals MX plus B, then who invented the Eiffel Tower? Uh-oh, shit, I guess Y equals MX plus B. I mean, even though I did bad on all my tests, maybe I can just get a job drawing stick men or some shit. Anyway, so I never studied, I never did homework. But when it came to this spoken word, I had something to prove. I mean, it felt like motherfuckers was preying on my downfall. So I actually spent my own free time at home practicing and perfecting this spoken word. So by the time I had to present, I was prepared as fuck. I mean, don't get me wrong, I was still shitting bricks. But when I got up there,
Chains, get up here. And don't stutter like last time, alright, buddy?
He's gonna stutter for sure.
Don't get on here rapping, I'm stacking, making it happen.
Okay.
I've been perfecting this speech while Yajits was lacking. You don't want beef with me, I put you on a tee, I call that shit fashion.
Okay.
I'll put you in a box like some cereal, you'll get crunched, I'm the captain.
Captain Crunch!
Now let me stir it up like some mac and cheese. I want 100% like curry from the three. I'm talking all A's, no B's, bitch, I'm blessed like a sneeze blue. A hunt is like the seas, I'm too icy, I might freeze cause I'm him. I'm not talking slash he.
That's
spitting right now. I went bonkers, bro. In fact, I went so bonkers, the teacher volunteered me to go present my speech to the entire school. Now, usually I would be way too scared to public speak in front of that many people. But right now, I'm all hyped up on how bananas my speech went. Plus, I spent all that time perfecting it. I might as well share the heat with the rest of the school. Alright, next up is Chains with a spoken word on don't get on here rapping. Don't get on here stacking. I mean rapping. Stacking, I'm happing. You don't want beef with me because, quite frankly, I will put you on a t-shirt. I mean, you could call that fashion. thank you guys for having me. I fucking fumbled. I folded under the pressure, bro. With the entire school watching my fear of public speaking absolutely crush me. And that is the reason why I have a fear of public speaking.
Man, I don't know about y'all, but for me, having an older brother is like...
Oh, chin check!
Damn, bro. L chin, am I right?
Nah, I got you a gift, though.
Damn, for real?
Yeah, open them up.
Oh, these are tough. Let me try them on.
Yup. You know what these are good for, bro?
Yeah, what is it?
Wedgie!
I'm not gonna lie, bro. I still love having a big brother. Like, yeah, you get your ass beat bi-weekly. Yeah, these motherfuckers will steal your food. And they be frying your shit for no reason whatsoever.
Chains for real? Now that's Chipotle for real. Cause he's wrapped like a burrito.
Well, let's think about it, bro. What is the alternative? A big sister, bruh? Hell nah. These motherfuckers will force you to do your makeup and shit. Alright, yeah, pull the plug.
But it looks good.
Pull that shit. Like, pull the plug.
So I don't
pull
think we
the
can do that.
Pull the
man,
plug.
Are you
pull
serious,
the plug. Pull the fucking plug. Like, having a brother's an interesting situation. Cause I would trust this motherfucker with my life. No questions asked. But I'm not trusting him with my Chipotle for a second, bro. Like, I was born with my very own number one hater and my number one supporter who just happens to have the same mom as me, bro. But listen, nowadays, I'm a grown-ass man. My brother, a grown-ass man. Now that we're both grown, we get along like PB&J.
Yo.
That's what I was about to say, bro.
For real, though. We get along like chicken
and waffles.
Okay.
Yes, sir, bro. We get along like salt and vinegar.
Nah, I don't get it, bro. I don't know. I don't know what you're trying to say.
Nah, I mean, what I'm trying to say is if I'm eating,
right.
Worried.
Oh, yeah. If he gets into a fight, we get into a fight. Yeah. If someone reads my search history, we searched up Lola Bunny furry buns, looped up, shaking it wild
bro.
Style. Yeah.
Nah, hell nah.
What are you doing?
We didn't do that?
Fuck no.
Okay. Yep. No, that's fine. But a lot of shit has changed throughout the years, man. Back in the day, me and my brother were ops, bro, because this motherfucker's sole reason for living and breathing was to rage bait my ass. And I was like 5 years old, still figuring out who's milking the chocolate cows and shit. And big bros hit me with shit like,
yo, what's 9 plus 10?
It's 19.
Get a load of this dipshit.
Bro, it's literally 19. Man, what the fuck?
Hey, why are you so mad, bro?
Bro, you literally...
Tired, relax, bro. Just sit down, take a deep breath.
Who's a good boy?
Yeah, man,
who's
a... Now, me and my homies used to wrestle all the time, and my record was decent. We're talking like 50 and 10, and at the time, my signature go-to finisher move was the guillotine choke. It had seriously never let me down once until I tried that shit with Big Bro, and I started guillotining my ass beat, dog. My brother's 3 years older than me, so that shit was like a boss battle that you just don't have enough XP for, bro. Like, when I would pull up on him, I hear boss battle music, my health bar pops up. And I start unloading the clip on this motherfucker, but he's done beat my ass so many times. He's got my moveset memorized and shit, bro. Like, this motherfucker's the Picasso of beating my ass specifically. Like, every time I was getting folded like an omelet, folded like origami. I was getting folded like I was playing poker. The way he just dealt me these hands, bro. And maybe you're thinking, Big Bro got the strong genes, so I got the smart genes type shit. Nope. Nope, not. This motherfucker took those jeans too, bro, and he put them to use. Cause he used to manipulate the shit out of me, bro. Like, I remember one Halloween a long time ago when I was like 4, my mom came up to us with 2 costumes, right? One was Spider-Man with the fake muscles and everything, and the other was Shrek. It was Shrek.
Yo, I call Spider-Man.
No, but I want Spider-Man.
Actually, you know what?
I want Shrek, man. Shrek is cool as hell. Like, what'd he say? What are you doing in my swamp?
Wait, no, oh, I want Shrek.
Oh, you think he's supposed to be like Mike Wazowski or some shit?
I don't even know.
What are you doing in my swamp?
And this can't just be me, bro. But when we were younger, my brother would teach me some lingo or advanced intellectual informational shit. And I would go around school just spewing out words I don't even understand, bro.
Damn, what y'all got for lunch?
Shit, it's just a little PB&J.
That's savage. Yeah, yeet.
Yeah, man. I guess. I mean, my mom.
Okay, Bob, I see some pizza. YOLO.
Well, what about Bev's? Bev's, what are we saying?
I got some apple juice.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I love apple juice.
I don't.
Bro, what? Who doesn't love apple juice?
Damn, well, it's because my brother says that juice has a secret society where all the juices, I'm talking apple, orange, fucking pineapple, get together and they control the bank.
Everybody has budget
shit. Now, me and my brother would go at it, bro. It was a seemingly never-ending rivalry between us of me getting my ass beat, him beating my ass. Okay, maybe it wasn't a rivalry. I don't know. Shit, I think I was getting bullied. But one day when I was 7 years old, everything changed for both me and my brother when we got a stepsister, bro, because she was annoying as fuck. Her name was Alicia, and she was spoiled, bro. Every time she didn't have her way, she would just call up her pops, and it was raps for me and bro. Alicia was getting the princess treatment, and we were getting the fucking peasant treatment, dog. Like, let me tell you a story from my childhood, bro. I was 7 years old, and me and Alicia shared a small room, and it was split right down the middle. The left side was blue, Spider-Man bed, teddy bear, boy shit, right? And the right side was pink, Disney princess posters, Barbie dolls, all the girl shit. And one night, I was in Dreamland, counting sheep, having a wonderful time, and when I woke up, I realized I done pissed the bed, bro. Grown ass man at the big age of 6, pissing in the sheets. Hell nah. I was like, shit, man, I gotta get my act together, bro. So throughout that day, I drank a little bit less water, hopped into my cozy Spider-Man bed sheets, and went to sleep. And when I woke up, I done pissed the bed again, bruh. Fuck, man. 2 in a row, I gotta lock in, man. So that day, drank no fucking water. I was parched as hell, but I jumped into bed to finally have a nice, peaceful, dry sleep. And when I woke up, fucking soaked, dog. I went 3 for 3, bro. I was like the LeBron James of
waterlogged in the mattress.
All right, bro, this shit's just getting ridiculous. So I go 2 days straight, no water. I'm fully dehydrated. There's not an ounce of water in my body. I finally go to sleep, but this time I wake up to rustling, movement. My bed kind of shaking. I fully open my eyes.
Alicia just pissed on my bed, bro.
Yo, what the fuck?
Oh, hey, Chains. They will never believe you.
Bro, I hop off the DIY water mattress, run over to my mom's room, and you gotta think about how guilty and schizophrenic I sounded, bro.
Mom, Alicia is pissing on my bed. James, it's possible you wet your own bed while you were sleeping.
No, come here. Look, she's probably doing it right now.
James, Alicia's dead asleep.
No, but every single day I wake up and there's just piss all over the Spidey blankets.
All right, Chains, what's next? Alicia's just gonna shit your pants too, bro?
And to this day, nobody believed me except my motherfucking brother, bro, because he's a G. And when he realized how annoying a little sibling can actually be, he was like, shit, I low-key fuck with you, little bro.
Hey, I fuck with you too, twin.
So we started playing some Mario Kart together. He taught me how to play basketball. He introduced me to Minecraft. He even taught me how to make a YouTube channel. And as we got older, big bro got a car. And that shit felt like when Greg and Roderick finally started fucking with each other, bro. We were running around, hitting late-night Sevrons, eating straight Roderick-ass meals. We were in that bitch like,
brain freeze.
And ever since that day, my big brother's been like my second half, bro. My twin in them. Truly, I can say my big brother is my
vinegar, bro. It was salt and
vinegar. It was on the tip
Everybody
of my tongue, bro. How did
salt
I not
and
get
vinegar.
That?
What are you doing in my swamp?
It was a snowy Christmas Eve. My brother and I were watching a Christmas movie bundled up beside the fireplace while drinking a cup of hot cocoa. Man, it can't get any better than this. Or can it? What could possibly enhance these festive activities to their maximum potential? Or should I say, who can? So I called up the plug Randall and I'm like, yo Randall, yo what's up, cuh? Let me get some of that Christmas tree OG.
Oh shit.
Let me get some of that Mean Green Grinch. Yes sir, yes sir. Some of that Rudolph Red Eyes, you know what I'm saying? But the thing is, I can't deliver right now, cuh. Why not? Well, you see, cuh, me and the family are setting up milk and cookies for Santa Claus, cuh. Aw shit, Randall. I didn't know you were a family man like that. Cuh, you already know it's Christmas Eve and shit, but if you really need some of that Mean Green Grinch, come by the crib and pick it up. Say less. Randall sent his address and it was only a 15-minute drive. So we walk outside to go hop in the whip and I'm like, what? Where the fuck did the whip go? It should be right here. Oh, fuck. I mean, the entirety of the whip had been covered in snow. I mean, in these conditions, not only would it be impossible to drive, but many would say it wouldn't even be possible to walk to Randall's crib. However, on this specific Christmas Eve, there was nothing that was gonna get between us and that Christmas tree OG. So we throw on our snow attire and take our first step off the porch. And god damn, that shit was deeper than I thought. As we started our journey to Randall's house in waist-high snow, I was filled with determination. The type of determination that just dipped after 5 minutes of wet socks, possible hypothermia, and no end in sight. Bro, should we just head back now? I mean, we still got like 30 more minutes to go to Randall's house. I don't think I could do it, bro. Chains, just picture this. Mariah Carey is playing in the background. Your nose is filled with the sweet scent of freshly baked cookies while we get baked as fuck and drink as much eggnog as we want. Shit, you're right. We can't stop now. So we walked and walked in what seemed to be like endless amounts of snow. But then a brightness slowly revealed itself through the snowfall. A beautifully decorated house with reindeer on the roof and Santa Claus in the chimney. We had made it. We made it to the boy Randall's crib. Randall invites us inside and out of the Christmas spirit, the homie Randall seshes us up for the freesky. And at last, I got a taste of that Rudolph Red Eyes Kush, and in that moment, it was all worth it. So me, Randall, and my brother smoke up for a while, but then my brother realizes,
Oh, shit. It's already 11 p.m. We gotta make it back for Christmas. Damn, you're right.
Wait. Before you jits go, cut, take some for the road.
Thanks, bro.
So we begin our journey back home, except this time something was different. We were zooted as fuck. And if you've ever been in the cold while being more baked than some gingerbread, you would know that shit is ass. And as my brother and I walked through the snowfall continued to get worse and worse. And after 30 minutes of walking back home while being higher than Santa's sleigh, my legs just folded, bro. Oh shit, Chains, are you good?
Bro, it's too far. You're gonna have to make it back without me.
Bro, shut up. You're fine. You're just high as fuck.
Oh, Ni-chan.
Bro, get your bitch
ass
up.
Let me go. You need to make it back before Christmas starts.
Yo, just get up, bro. Stop playing around. Oh, my fucking God. And then I fucking died. Maybe that mean green Grinch was gonna be what stole my Christmas after all. Man, you're not fucking dead. Until my brother decks my ass harder than the boughs of holly. Bro quite literally slapped me back to reality. And that was all I needed to keep going. But we only had 5 minutes to make it back to the house before Christmas. So we use everything we have left. We see the red and green glowing lights in the distance getting closer and closer and... And by a Christmas miracle, at last we could sit down on the couch, bundled up next to the fireplace, watching a holiday movie, drinking some hot cocoa, all while zooted off that Christmas tree OG.
Listen, most of us have been high before, and most of us have also been drunk before, but it truly takes one determined, perseverant, curious, and brave dumbass to be high and drunk at the same time, which perfectly describes your boy way back in grade 7. See, this story is crazy because I had never been high or drunk before this incident, and all at once I turned from just a young innocent boy into the low IQ human I am today. So, it was grade 7 and my school had just got out for spring break. The boys and I had already planned out a little get together for one of our friends' birthdays. So after school, me and the boys link up. We go and clean up our friend Billy's house, cause you can't throw a birthday function in a dirty house. And it was dirty, bro. So by the time we were done cleaning, it was already about 7:30. So that meant everyone started to show up. So the boys and I started doing your average middle school activities. By that, I mean we're wrestling, we're breaking stuff, and the girls were just posted on the couch. Cause, what are we supposed to do? Talk to them? Hell nah. But eventually we got tired of throwing each other around. So we're all sweaty and shit and we sit down on the couch, leaving at least 1.5 meters between us and the girls, of course. And we just sat there. But then out of nowhere, Billy's like, I got a brownie. And I'm over here thinking, the fuck? The hoes don't care about your brownie, bruh. But then Billy started to elaborate. Guys, this is no ordinary brownie. I stole it from my uncle's do not eat cabinet. And he says they're magical. Oh, he probably means they're magically tasty. I need a bite of that. Does anyone want a piece?
Yeah, I'll try one.
Yeah, sure, I want some. I mean, some. I am kind of
yes,
hungry.
Yes, please.
So everyone has their piece, and they're kind of building up the suspense, like, are you guys ready? Are you sure we should do this? And I'm still clueless. I'm over here thinking, it's a brownie. What's the big deal? The fuck? This brownie isn't magical. This shit tastes like ass. Oh, Chains, how do you feel? I feel like I just ate some dog shit, bruh. I'm gonna keep it a stack. Your uncle needs a new baker for real. No, Chains, it's not about the taste. They're grass-infused brownies. They're supposed to get you high. Man, what? I feel like this is the kind of thing you're supposed to say before I downed it. So everyone eats their piece of brownie and then continues to sit in awkward silence for like the next 2 hours. But then the brownie starts to hit. People are dropping like flies. And eventually, everyone felt it except me. And they're just doing high stuff, like eating all the food in the kitchen, watching Netflix documentaries. But for me, the brownie still hasn't hit. And Billy notices that I'm sober, and he's like, wait here. Bro goes into his mom's liquor cupboard and pours out unholy amounts of vodka and just hands me the cup. Keep in mind, I had never drank before, so I have no clue whether or not this is a lot. So I literally chugged the whole thing. Looking back, it had to have been at least 5 shots all at once. But man, I had no clue. So I'm just sitting there chilling on the couch, waiting for something magical to happen. And I start to think, maybe I'm just invincible. Like nothing can affect me. It all hit at once. The brownie and the vodka was out here running combos on me like John Cena and Randy Orton. And bro, something in that brownie changed my settings and enabled third person perspective. It was the weirdest feeling. It was like I was watching myself on a movie, but like I was in the movie, bro, I don't know. And apparently it also gave me the ability to teleport, because I swear when I blinked, I teleported from Billy's crib to the front of a McDonald's line. And listen, I have no clue what happened in between that time, but I had no business being in a public setting right now. Hi, what can I get for you? Sir, can I help you? Yeah. What can I get for you? Listen, because I was high, drunk, and apparently had no social capabilities, I was spitting some nonsense to this poor McDonald's employee. Yeah, do y'all got the Popeye's chicken sandwich? Sir, this is McDonald's. Yeah, and let me get that Dairy Queen Blizzard.
Dairy Queen, what?
And, what kind of nachos do you guys have? I blinked again, and we were all back at Billy's house. The very last thing I remember from that night is there was absolutely no blankets. So I was out here using literally anything I could find for a little bit of warmth. But eventually, after a long night, I passed out.
My first time eating magic mushrooms. Now this story takes place on a spooky Halloween night. And of course, when you're young, Halloween is about dressing up and getting candy from strangers. But as you get older, you grow to realize the true meaning of Halloween is to commit as many devious and malicious crimes in one night as humanly possible. Like when me and my homies first transformed from some young, innocent gentlemen into some unethical and deceitful delinquents, we planned out some criminal activities for our first teenager Halloween. Yo, trick-or-treating is for nerds, where we're gonna drink alcohol and smoke grass.
Woo! Yeah.
That is so teenager. So you know, we drink their drink and we smoke their grass. Man, I sure could fuck up some Reese's Pieces right now. Not gonna lie, some Skittles would be fire. Alright, fuck it. So we threw on last year's Halloween drip and shamelessly went trick-or-treating baked as fuck.
Trick-or-treat.
Aren't you guys a little bit old to be trick-or-treating? No, but we got our candy and we went back to Billy's crib and the munchies took over. I mean, we fucked that shit up so fast that we changed costumes and we spun the block.
Trick or treat.
Didn't you guys already come here?
No. There's a snake in my boot.
So all Halloween, me and the gang pretty much just ate chocolate. But by the time next year rolled around, okay, this Halloween is going to be the best Halloween yet. But how can we top last year? Yeah, we already smoked grass and ingested alcohol well underaged. Cause I got these. This dude, Billy, whips out a handful of shrooms. And honestly, Billy didn't even need to convince us, cause me and Bob were trying to have the best Halloween ever. So we split it up and we all down a sizable amount of magic mushrooms for our first time. And let me tell you, there are many smooth ways to consume some magic mushrooms. One being the pizza technique, as well as the good old PB and shroom Sammy. However, we had smoked and we had drank before, but magic mushrooms were completely out of our expertise. So we just choked them shits down raw. And it was strange. It tasted like I just ate earth. If
if Earth was dry as fuck and like chewy. But about 20 minutes after eating the shrooms, Billy has a genius idea. Okay, hear me out. We go trick-or-treating, collect some candy real quick, and come back. So when these mushrooms hit, we can be eating good. Okay, wait, then we need some costumes. Okay, I do have 3 costumes, but like, just don't ask any questions, okay? Why do you have no questions, bro? Now let's go get this bag of candy. So we're mobbing around the neighborhood in some gangster Teletubby suits. And we roll up to the first house, like...
Trick or treat.
Aw, you guys are so cute. And we were banging out house after house. But after about 4 houses, I started to notice my Teletubby mitts were looking a little suspicious. But I didn't have time to think about the psychedelics that were potentially invading my brain, because I had bigger priorities. Go cop some Halloween candy.
Trick or treat.
But as we walked up to the 8th house, I was undeniably tripping balls. Cause as I looked up at Bob, I just started uncontrollably laughing my ass off. And Bob's shrooms must have kicked in too, because we were both just hysterically laughing at each other for no reason. But then the door opened and I saw this tall ass bald dude with an unconceivably large smile on his face. I mean, the shrooms made it look like his smile was just unproportionately big, and I just assumed it was a Halloween mask.
Man, I love your Halloween costume.
What costume?
Oh, holy shit. We need to get home ASAP.
So we're making our way back home, tripping balls in our Teletubby costumes, and I'm just seeing the stars falling out of the sky. Then out of nowhere, Billy yells, "What the fuck is that?" I'm probably just tripping, but it looks like zombies running towards us at full speed.
Oh, yeah. I see it too.
Oh shit, we gotta run. So me, Billy, and Bob start booking it back to Billy's house. And I am hauling ass because there is no way I'm getting packed up by some zombies right now. And when I look back, I don't see some zombie costume. No, I see some real ass zombies. Like, bones sticking out, eyeballs look like they haven't blinked in centuries, and that shit just made me run faster. Cause to me, this was a life or death situation. I mean, in reality, it probably just looked like...
Ah!
360 Ooga Booga Booga!
We get back to Billy's crib.
Holy shit, get in!
Lock it! And we were not taking any chances. I mean, we barricaded every single door in the entire house. And for a second, it was a horrible trip. I mean, I thought I was in the zombie apocalypse. But once we settled down, we were having the time of our lives, chilling and eating candy while tripping balls.
Booga booga!
There's a lot of things in life that I don't really understand, but if there's one thing I can truly comprehend, it's being grounded. Because in my time, I've served a total of 547 days and 16 hours in the slammer. And through a year and a half of extensive first-hand research, I've come to the professional conclusion that getting grounded is straight ass, bro. You're locked in your room with no phone, no computer, like, what do you want me to do? Think about my actions? Hell nah. Being grounded had a young me doing the stupidest shit ever, bro. Like, I was popping handstands, hitting my head against the wall, playing with the door stopper thingy. Shit, I got so bored, I even read a few pages of a book like an absolute nerd. And now that I think about it, Percy Jackson and the Battle of the Labyrinth was actually a spectacular read. Now listen, there's only one thing worse than being grounded, and that's being falsely imprisoned for life. Well, now that I think about it, there's a lot of things worse than being grounded, but one of which is being grounded during summer, bro.
There's something about being able to hear all the happy children, the ice cream trucks, your homies having fun, the hoes throwing rocks at your window, asking you to come outside. Well, you just cry yourself to sleep because there never was any hoes throwing rocks at your window asking you to come outside. It's just you, your Percy Jackson books, some used toilet paper, and the existential thoughts in your head questioning if it's even worth it. And listen, I'm sure everyone can pick up on the fact that I'm a really intelligent dude. Smart all around, really, but trust me when I say, I wasn't always this smart, bro. In fact, in kindergarten, my dumbass fully believed with my whole heart that being grounded meant your parents would just dig a decent sized hole in your backyard, toss you in, and bury you alive for the time being. And so I'm sure you could imagine my surprise when my OG friend of 5 days said, yeah, I got grounded for 2 whole weeks. Holy fucking shitballs, dude, are you okay? No, man, it's really hard. I didn't get to touch any of my toys or anything. Damn, how long ago was that, man? Oh, I'm still grounded. What? No, you're not. Yeah, dude, I'm grounded right now. No, the fuck you're not. And I wouldn't truly find out what being grounded was until 7 years later. I was in grade 7. It was a beautiful sunny summer day at approximately 11 a.m. and me and the boys were freely roaming our city. Little did I know, we wouldn't be free for long. And as the boys and I roamed the city looking for a move, one of Bob's girls calls him up and is like, okay, so my friend Becky is in Hawaii for a few days with her family, and she said I could bring you over. And just like that, Bob could have wrapped it up and claimed some cheeks. But the boy Bob was never one to leave the homies behind. So not only did he convince his girl to let us come, but he went above and beyond. He got his girl to bring some of her friends over too. And now we're hyped because we had now located the move, and quite a marvelous move if I do say so myself. Now keep in mind, all of us knew Becky and had been to Becky's house many times before, but Becky was all the way in Hawaii, so she had no clue about the marvelous move about to take place at her own crib. But regardless, me and the homies walk into Becky's crib and they low-key got a little get together in the works. I see Bob's girl, I see Bob's girl's friends, and then I see a mutual friend of mine named Dennis. And he brought his girl. Now, a little backstory about Dennis. Dennis was 2 years older than me, making him in high school. And to be fair, from grade 7 to high school is a colossal difference. Dennis was taller, had a more developed frame, and Dennis even had some facial hair in progress. The amount of facial hair that put my peach fuzz to shame. And to put it quite simply, Dennis was a menace. But regardless, that's my homie's homie, so I walk up and dap him up. And then everyone heads over to Becky's room. Now keep in mind, Becky had simply invited Bob and Bob's girl to come over, and somehow we ended up being 8 people deep in that joint. And so that means technically, the other 6 of us were straight trespassing. So we were all chilling in Becky's room, chopping it up for a good hour and a half, until eventually, people start exploring her house. Now in Becky's room, it was just me, Bob, Bob's girl, and Bob's girl's friend named Lily. And so we're all just talking until I hear someone yell from the room down the hall.
Yo, Chains, get in here right now!
And I don't know exactly what I was expecting to see as I walked into that bathroom, but it was absolutely not seeing Dennis drop a condom filled with water on Billy's head. And of course I laughed because that's comedy gold right there, but it also made me realize maybe we shouldn't be here dropping condoms on each other's heads. But who was I to tell Dennis what to do? He had facial hair, so he was practically a grown man to my standards. So I just turned around, went back to the room, and continued chilling with Bob. And as we talked, the music progressively got louder, and Dennis progressively became more of a menace. And it had got to the point where the speakers were booming, and Dennis was lobbing condom water balloons off Becky's balcony. And then one time, Dennis either almost hit or just missed Becky's neighbor with one of these condom water balloons. So this grown man looks down at a condom that seems to have fell from the heavens. Then he looks up and sees Dennis scrambling inside to Becky's crib with the speakers blasting music. And then he continued on his way. And we were all just having a fantastic time in Becky's room until we hear the downstairs door swing open. And we all absolutely shit our pants and run onto the balcony.
Hey,
I just texted the family who lives here, and they said no one is supposed to be in the house. Everyone needs to leave right now, or I'm calling the cops.
And that's exactly what we did. No messing around, we were out that hoe. And we all went to Bob's girl's house for an emergency meeting, because we were all scared as fuck. And now Bob's girl and Becky are texting, and Becky's like, my parents are pissed, they want to talk to everyone's parents, and they know how many people were there. So we all devise a foolproof plan. Okay, we give Becky our phone numbers, tell it's our parents' phone numbers, and we act super disappointed in our children. We all agreed on this plan, and the emergency meeting was dismissed. And over the next few days, we all got texts from a very unhappy Becky's father, who made sure to specify the amount of condoms that were found in the bathtub. We all respond with some bullshit along the lines of,
hello, Mr. Beckerson. I'm very sorry to hear about the inconsiderate acts of Chains and how he's invaded your home. Rest assured, Chains will feel the wrath of this thick leather belt as it repeatedly beats against his cheeks to discipline him for his heinous actions. Thank you for bringing this to my attention.
But come to find out, Lily's dumbass responded with some shit like, dear Mr. Beckerson, thank you for letting me know, but Lily did nothing wrong, as she didn't know she wasn't allowed there. Plus, she didn't even make a mess or anything, on God. Put some respect on my daughter's name, period. And just like that, our foolproof plan got fucked. And Becky's father texted each of us saying,
you are coming to the house at 3:15 p.m. today, or I'm calling the cops.
And shit, looking back, Becky's father was most definitely bluffing. Like, say I didn't go, what was he gonna tell the cops?
911, what's your emergency? Hey, there was 8 kids who invaded my home 3 days ago.
Okay, sir, did they break in?
No, my daughter gave them the key.
Sir, why the fuck are you calling 911?
There was condoms in the bathtub!
But like I said, I wasn't very smart, and I didn't have the brain capacity to think that far ahead. So everyone shows up to the house, and Becky's father sits us down and makes each of us individually call our parents and explain what we had done. And I went first. Hey mom, so I went to Becky's house the other day, but she was in Hawaii, and I wasn't really invited.
There was condoms in the bathtub.
Needless to say, we all got our shit whooped, and I received my very first grounding with a sentence of 1 month in the slammer. There's a lot of awkward things in life, like the handshake fist bump dilemma, or waving back to someone who is waving to the dude behind you, or the U2 situation.
Enjoy your meal, sir.
Thanks, you too.
Actually?
Wait. No. But on this long list of things that will keep you up at night, I feel like school dances lands itself in the top 3, bro. Cause it's like, is it a party or is it a school event? Are we hitting the Dougie or are we just standing awkwardly in the corner? There's just too many questions, bro. Like another question, who the fuck hired this guy to be the DJ? Like, I don't know how much they pay this dude, but it can't be anything over 50 bucks. I remember at my first middle school dance, I seen the DJ walk in with all his gear and shit and I thought, damn, look at those big ass speakers. This dude knows what he's doing for sure. Hey, Stickman Middle, are we ready to turn up?
Yeah!
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, let's go! So I walk over there to give bro some song requests that he so desperately needs, and as I walk up to this dude's expensive ass setup, I look down at his laptop, and this motherfucker's on Spotify, and he's moving around the volume slider like he's doing some shit. Like, bro, I could've done this shit for free. Nah, trust me, bro. I know what I'm doing, dude.
Want a break from the ads?
Now, to be honest, it was really the middle school dances that had me fucked up. Like, you took a bunch of self-conscious, prepubescent little kids and threw on some music and told them to dance with each other. Like, shit, of course they're gonna start hitting those Fortnite emotes, bro. That's all they know how to do. Like, these grade sixes are fresh out of elementary school. There's no way you'll catch one of these youngins asking a girl to dance. Like, they're still scared of catching cooties, bro. Or what about the grade sevens? These kids were straight menaces. Like, I remember at my grade 7 dance, there was a duo. We'll call them Greg and Roderick. Greg and Roderick would run up on some unsuspecting students, and Greg would slide behind them on his hands and knees, and Roderick would casually strike up a conversation. And just when the poor guy was expecting it least, Roderick would shove his ass, causing the unsuspecting victim to trip and eat shit. And they went around to damn near everyone pulling this shit, until one time they messed with the wrong dude.
Hey bro, it's just a prank.
Now grade 8s. These
These boys are damn near in high school. They don't dance. It'll ruin their street cred, bruh. Instead, they prefer mosh pits. Rap, EDM, fucking smooth jazz. It doesn't matter what song. These grade 8s will be relentlessly jumping up and down for no apparent reason. And soon, these grade 8s will turn into freshmen. All that street cred they once had, gone. If you push one of these freshmen into the middle of a dance circle, he'll stress so hard, he'll start malfunctioning and hit those fucking Fortnite dances again. Now, grade 10s. Most of these grade 10s are a little self-conscious, but if you throw one of them into the dance circles...
Let's go, Michael! Whoa,
let's see it, yeah, let's go!
Guys, what? I don't know how to dance.
Let's go, Michael!
Well, I guess I can bust out a few dance moves. All of a sudden, dude's got moves like Jagger. Come to find out, bro's been practicing for this moment in his room for months. So once these grade 10s soon become sophomores, those YouTube tutorials start paying off for real. And if they're lucky, they might even catch some cooties, bro. And these seniors just simply don't give a fuck.
Bro, watch this. I'm about to hit the worm.
What? You know how to hit the worm?
No.
And I'm not done flaming this fucking DJ. Like, this dude be leaving my balls more blue than Squidward. Pause. These bitches lost. Oh hell. Is that lo-fi? And then out of nowhere, really quick, the DJ will throw on some heat and it'll have everybody turning up. But just as fast as Pop Smoke got that shit jumping, Ed Sheeran shut that bitch right back down. Like, mixing drill with The Shape of You has to be some sort of felony, bro. Like, tell me this dude deserves to roam the streets freely after pulling some shit like that. In fact, funny story, I had seen the DJ after the dance in the parking lot one time, and we walked up and we jumped the fuck out of him. Alright, but not all DJs were out here committing war crimes on my ears. Like, you know the DJ was onto some shit when he got the students and the teachers turning up. Like, you play the right song, and these teachers will forget they're on chaperoning duty. Shit, even the principal will start wilding out. Once you got the right song playing, motherfuckers will get hype over anything. Like, remember how hype it was when someone would land a flip in the middle of a mosh pit? Shit, remember how hype it was when someone didn't land a flip in the middle of a mosh pit? These motherfuckers were excited as ever, like they didn't just witness a dude snap his neck. Poor guy's probably getting trampled down there. Rest in peace. Sacrificed his life for a few Snapchat memories. But you know that one song, that when the DJ throws that hoe on, everybody knows what to do. Motherfuckers will run in from the bathroom, teachers will hop in, the Redditors will hop off the bleachers, and the school dance will be looking like something straight out of High School Musical, bro. Speaking of High School Musical, back in the day, I knew a dude named Troy. I fucked with Troy, but let's just say, he had a little bit of a lean gut. He was built like T Grizzly. Nah, fuck that. He was built like DJ Khaled. And I remember this dude, Troy, was just coming off a school suspension. But for whatever reason at the dance, this motherfucker must have been looking for another one. Because Troy came up to me talking about how he was going to beat Jordan Johnson's ass at the dance tonight. And honestly, I ain't believing him. So once the dance came around, he was beefing JJ every chance that he got. Until soon, JJ wasn't going to stand for it. Now, a school dance is simply the best time for a school fight to take place for the dude who wins. For the dude who loses, you literally have every single motherfucker in your school gathered in one place to get several different 4K angles of you getting pieced up. So Troy was really putting everything on the line here because JJ was known for handing out whoopings like food stamps. But to be fair, Troy loved food. Regardless, JJ wasn't scared. In fact, he threw the first punch. Boom. But Troy ate that shit like a Wendy's 4-for-4 combo. And instantly, the entire school gathered in a circle. The circle was so big, there was no escaping. They were gonna have to fight to the death. But the DJ was so locked in that he was completely oblivious to what was happening. He was playing some happy-go-lucky ass shit.
Oh, shit. Ooh. Damn!
Yeah.
Get his ass!
Let's go!
Beat his ass, JJ!
I'm Jordan Johnson! Now, the moral of that story is, don't get into a fight at the school dance. Unless you know you're gonna win. Now, on another note, asking someone to dance is a very important topic when it comes to school dances. Now, girls, I'm sorry, I can't help you with this one. I've never asked a dude to dance before. But boys,
Shit, I can't help you either. I'm like over 15 with this shit. But I do know someone who can. I'm talking about the homie Bob. So Bob, how do you ask a girl to dance?
Watch and learn.
Is this motherfucker moonwalking right now? Oh shit. Oh, what the fuck?
Awkward conversations. We all know them and we all hate them. Hey, how are you? Oh, I'm good. How are you? I'm great. How are you? You already asked me that. Damn, you right. You right. So, how's your day going? My pet frog just died. Damn, that's tough. I find myself taking the most inconvenient routes to avoid an awkward conversation. Like, I can't really explain the feeling of an awkward conversation, but it's just mildly uncomfortable. Like, I would compare the discomfort levels of an awkward conversation to wearing wet socks. Like, it's not the end of the world, but let's keep it real, no one wants to wear wet socks. And honestly, I would take a slightly inconvenient path if it meant I would not have to wear wet socks. Also, I feel like there's some other situations that are in the awkward conversation family that I also hate. For example, the handshake fist bump dilemma.
Yeah, it was nice seeing you.
Yeah.
Oh, fist bump. Oh.
Oh no! Sorry,
nah,
sorry.
No,
I don't.
Yeah.
God damn it! After you experience one of these bad boys, you'll be thinking about it, cringing for the next hour. And if you're anything like me, you might even lose some sleep over it.
Man, why the fuck they're not going for the handshake, bruh? Obviously, it was a handshake.
And what about the good old you said goodbye to the person you're talking to, but you guys both walk the same way? Situation. I mean, this situation is the perfect way to ruin a smooth conversation.
Yeah, man, it was really nice to see you.
Yeah, for sure. See you later, bro.
Alright, peace out.
alright, bye.
Yeah, bye.
Shit, we're still walking the same way? I'll just turn this way so it's not awkward. Man, what the fuck?
And even if I say goodbye to someone and we're still in the same general location, I will avoid them at all costs. Like once me and my brother were chilling at Walmart and we saw one of our neighbors. So we talked for a little bit, you know, said our farewells and went separate ways. But when it came time for me and my brother to check out, we saw the same neighbors checking out. And we were up in the Walmart looking like we were playing Assassin's Creed in real life.
It's clear.
And of course, I can't forget about awkward silence.
Yeah, that's funny.
Me personally, I have some procedures in place to avoid awkward silence no matter what. For example, my philosophy is to just say things.
Yeah, that's funny.
So do you play Minecraft?
What kind of question is that?
In the end, they may think I'm a dumbass, but at least there's no awkward silence, you know what I'm saying?
Skipping class in high school is a slippery slope. Like one day you can skip and it'll slide no problem, like...
Oh, hey, buddy, welcome back. We missed you.
Yeah. You skip 2 days, you're chilling.
Hey, look who's back.
Yeah. But when you go to class after skipping 3 days, all of a sudden shit is serious.
Chains, why haven't you been here, huh?
Well, you know, it was some family stuff.
Oh, yeah, family stuff. What family stuff?
Well, I don't really want to talk about
what family stuff.
It was my grandma's funeral.
Damn. But that is no reason to miss a test.
And Lord forbid, if you miss a whole week, the school board turns into the FBI. Like during the whole pandemic,
one of my homies refused to go to any online classes. And one day, he was enjoying his extended vacation while smoking up outside his crib. Next thing he knows, he's making direct eye contact with his science teacher while smoking grass. And because they started going FBI mode when you skip your classes, the homies discovered a top secret method so we could skip classes with zero consequences. So, when you would skip a class, the teachers would instantly hop on their laptops and whip up an email along the lines of, "Mrs. Farrell, are you aware that your son, Chains, has missed his science class today? If this is continued, Chains' grade will continue to drop, which might ultimately lead to him failing my class. Mr. Perkinson." Now, Mr. Perkinson would write these emails with the hopes of my mom reading them and then beating my ass. When it really went like, my mom would read it and she would politely ask me how my science class was today. I would cap my ass off and then she would proceed to beat my ass. And one day after I got my shit whooped, I was talking to the homie Bob. "Yo, we're going to Chipotle next class. You trying to come?" "Man, I don't know. I'm getting real tired of these ass whoopings, bro." "Ass whoopings? You're getting ass whoopings?" "Yeah, bro. Mr. Perk never fails to type up an email that results in the leather belt." "Oh, what? Nobody ever told you about the secret method?" "Secret method? You mean like wearing extra pants so the belt doesn't hit so hard?" "No, I'm talking about the secret method so Mr. Perkinson's can't email your mom."
Why didn't you tell me sooner, bro?"
"So essentially, the method starts at the very beginning of the school year. At my school, they would give you this form with your parents' email, phone number, all the contact information, you know what I'm saying? You would need this form filled out and signed by a parent or guardian and then handed into the office. However, this man, Bob, conceptualized one of the greatest plans of our generation. And it went like this. So you would receive the empty form from the school, take it home to your parent / guardian, get that shit filled out, and get that signature. Then secretly, when nobody is watching, you hop on your computer, you make a fake email, like bobsmom123@gmail.com. Then you would change your mom's contact information into that fake ass email, and then deliver it to the office like nothing happened. So when Mr. Perkinson's smartass tries to get me whooped with one of those emails, I get that shit in my inbox. I read it through and respond with some shit like, "Dear Mr. Perkinson's, thank you very much for bringing this to my attention. I was unaware of my son's absence in pursuing his educational prowess. I will discipline him with a punishment that may or may not involve me whooping the absolute shit out of his tushy. Thank you, Mr. Perkinson's." And I already know this dude, Mr. Perkinson's, was reading that email like, "Oh, yup, he is definitely getting his ass beat tonight." Meanwhile, I was typing that shit up in bed while munching on some nachos. So you best believe I was abusing this newly found secret strategy. I mean, I was missing every other class. And it was just all sunshine and rainbows. But you know what they say. It's not all sunshine and rainbows. I mean, I really don't recommend using this strategy. And I'm not saying that to be some mature role model. I say that because there was one flaw in the strategy Bob forgot to tell me. And that was, as soon as my mom saw my report card with all those absences,
God damn,
she made up for every single beating I missed. Alright, I already touched on the unspeakable things that go down in the high school bathrooms, bro. But there's only one place on earth that is more foul than those bathrooms. And it's the goddamn locker rooms. That room smells like complete and utter dog shit mixed with Axe spray. Like, maybe I just went to school with a whole lot of Discord mods, but the rancid smell of the boys' locker room would contaminate anything in a 50-foot radius. And shit,
Lord knows what goes down in that questionable place. Like, you'll walk in there and see anything, bro. Motherfuckers will be having fights, chicken fights, group fights, sword fights. Like, any laws and rules simply don't apply to the boys' locker room. Motherfuckers will be throwing hands, selling drugs, committing arson, committing several counts of fucking tax evasion. Shit, you name it. It's pretty much a GTA lobby in that bitch. Like, I remember one day I walked into PE and my teacher was like,
"Hey, nah, where's your PE strip?"
And I was like, "Shit, it's in the locker room." So I walk into the locker room and there's just two motherfuckers throwing hands and they just stop and look at me like, "Oh shit, I'm gonna just get my backpack and shit." So yeah. Alright, y'all be safe. And then they just went back to beating the shit out of each other. Now listen, I don't spend too much time in the girls' locker room, but anytime I walk by there, that shit smells like rose petals and rainbows. So I can only imagine there's no group fights, no chicken fights. Hopefully no fucking sword fights. And bro, you deadass can't leave shit in the locker room. Like, if you leave anything not locked up, it's gone. These kids are ruthless, bro. They're snatching your wallet, your phone, your clothes. Shit, they're taking your PB&J sandwich. And the thing is, if you want your PB&J back, you're gonna have to get it back in blood, because there's no laws in the locker room. See, if someone snatched my sandwich in math class, I'm turning into 6'9", bro. Mr. Cumminson, Jordan Johnson here, who lives on 123 Stickman Drive, postal code STK53Z, just stole my peanut butter and jelly sandwich my mom made me, so I'ma need his ass suspended. But if you try to tell a teacher about anything that happened in the locker rooms, they don't give a fuck. But Mr. Principal, Jordan Johnson just stabbed me and stole my backpack, my phone, my wallet, and my ID.
Damn, I'm sorry to hear that. Where did this happen?
It was in the locker room after PE.
Oh, you said the locker room? You're just gonna have to get it back in blood.
Back in blood? What are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. The way you're snitching right now, you kinda look like a bitch.
But yo, one time me, Billy, and Bob were coming back to the locker room after some good old dodgeball, and Billy notices a dude rummaging through his backpack. So he's like, yo, what are you doing, bro? But when he turned around, Billy was bamboozled to find out the kid rummaging through his bag, he was special. And there was just this moment of silence. Yo, am I supposed to like beat his ass right now? Or bruh, I'm sure he didn't take anything. Just politely ask for your bag back. Alright, yeah. Oh, hey man, can I get my bag back, please? And the kid just hugged Billy, and then he left. And I'm still confused to this day, but I'ma be honest. Locker rooms weren't all that bad, cause sometimes you'd walk in that hole and they would just be throwing a party. Now, it still smells like ass, and there was literally no females, but it was still kinda lit. Like, you'd walk in there and it would transform into the club. Shout out my label, that's me. I'm in this bitch with TP. I'm in this bitch with all train. Or you'll walk in there and they'll just be giving out free pizza. Like walking into the locker room is a gamble. You might walk in there and get robbed or you'll get some fucking pizza. I don't know. But what I do know is there's only 10 types of dudes in the locker room. Starting with that one kid who must have thought it was the 1800s the way he was whipping motherfuckers. Next, we got the poor guy who's just trying to change. He's quiet, he's normal, and he changes. It's a locker room, so it makes sense. Then we got that one poor soul who gets absolutely cooked by the entire locker room. Yo, why is Kevin built like Mike Wazowski? Bro's got no neck. We're stick men. None of us have neck. Shut up. You skip neck.
Yeah, he skips neck.
Next, we got Bob. Bob's just that guy that casually takes his shirt off, and he's built like Giga Chad. Like, shit. Fucking sexy ass Bob. And I don't know why, but there was always that one guy who thought it was a good idea to just whip his nuts out. Unprovoked, uncalled for. completely out of pocket. Like, what do you look like with your nuts out in a room with 30 half-naked sweaty dudes? Like, personally, in that situation, I'm keeping my balls in my boxers. Thank you very much. And bro, tell me why there was always one kid who was just dousing himself in Axe spray. And it's always the mustiest motherfucker doing it too. Like, who's gonna tell him that Axe spray doesn't replace taking showers, bruh? And I don't know about your locker room, but for mine, there was always a dude eating. Like, out of all the places on earth, why are you eating in the locker room? Like, for some reason, there's something about eating around a bunch of dudes in their boxers that just doesn't sit right with me. I mean, simply by bringing that sandwich into the locker room makes it contaminated. That sandwich will be tasting like wet dog and Axe spray. And next, we got the kid who just makes as much noise as humanly possible.
Shut the fuck up.
And then there's that one dude who decides he's having a shower. And all power to that guy, but personally, there is no fucking way I'm showering in school. Like, I can't trust this little door to stop these menaces from breaking into my shower. Cause remember, there's no laws in the locker room. Like, it's no jail, but I'm sure if you drop the soap in there, you're gonna get violated. And of course, you got the fiend. There's always a dude fiending for a vape in every locker room. And it's low-key worse in the locker room than the bathrooms. Like, these locker room fiends would do a little bit too much for some nicotine. I've seen them pay $5 for a single hit, and fuck, I don't want to know what they'll do for a hit when they run out of money. And still, I'm not gonna lie, the high school bathrooms get wild. They'll be hotboxed, there'll be fight clubs, but the thing about the bathrooms is a teacher can walk in at any time and get every student suspended. Like, even the poor kid taking a piss will probably get suspended just by association. Which is exactly why the high school locker rooms get so fucking rowdy. Because there's truly no teacher strong enough to stop the buffoonery that goes on in these locker rooms. So they don't even try. Shit, I don't care if your teacher is John Cena. There is no single man who can put a stop to the fuck shit that goes down in the locker rooms. But there is one thing that can. A female.
Man, smoking too much. Greening out. ODing on the devil's lettuce. Whatever you'd like to call it, many of us have been there at least once in our lifetime. And man, I'll be the first to say it is not fun. But I do actually have a funny story about my first time greening out. I mean, it's funny now, but when it happened, I was shitting myself. So this story dates way back when I was just a young jit. I was still in 8th grade. Man, don't ask me why, but it takes place on a Thursday, on a school night. Alright, so it's a Thursday at 7 p.m. My friends and I are just headed to this girl's house. We'll call her Mary. So when me and my friends arrive at Mary's house, I quickly find out her dad is pretty chill.
Yo, what's up?
And you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So we'll just say Mary was no stranger smoking some gas now and then. With that being said, I kinda was. I had only smoked a few times. And the times that I had smoked, it wasn't anything crazy. So walking into the Mary household, I could kinda tell we were gonna smoke. So we all just went to her room and talked for about 5 minutes until all my friends started smoking. And it was out of some strangely shaped water bottle I had never seen before. And listen, bro, it was a Thursday on a school night, so I wasn't really planning on smoking, right? But when you're in middle school, peer pressure just hits differently, bro. So there my dumbass was on a Thursday night, using this weirdly shaped water bottle for the first time, knowing that I had a curfew of 9 o'clock. And I just instantly started coughing. I was definitely the least experienced out of all my friends, so I remember my homies were kinda helping me out. Especially my homie Bob. Bob brought me some water and told me to let him know if it hits too hard. I told him, yeah, for sure, but I'm pretty sure I'm chilling. Because it had already been a few minutes at this point, and it was safe to say I didn't feel anything. And after 10 minutes, I remember thinking, I bet I'm definitely good by now. I probably just didn't have enough to actually get me high. So shit, maybe I can make it back for my 9 o'clock curfew after all. That shit hit me like Mike Tyson in his prime, bro. I don't know why no one told me this new device would have me slumped like Nate Robinson, but it's already too late at this point. My vision started to get choppy, It's like I was running 30 frames per second in real life. And of course, the dry eye starts to kick in, and I just get really hot out of nowhere. And I guess at this point, Bob could just see the panic in my face. So Bob was like, come with me, and he brought me to the bathroom. And bro was prepared. He threw down a pillow and a blanket and was just like, you're gonna be alright, bro. And as he leaves me in the dark in the bathroom, I can hear from the other room, he's definitely greening out.
He's greening?
Nah, not Chains.
Nah, my boy.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace? Bro, am I about to die right now?
But to be honest, my brain was way too fried to even care. The effects were getting worse by the minute. And as I laid there in the dark on Mary's bathroom floor, I felt my soul leave my body. I was just flying around space and, you know, traveling through the galaxy and shit. But I'm brought back to life because I felt my phone buzzing. And when I woke back up, I had no clue where I was. And then when I looked in the mirror, who the fuck is this guy? Well, I was out here putting the pieces together, trying to figure out who I am. Bob hits me with another, come with me. I got a ride so we can get you back home. But you have to act normal, okay? Okay, just get in the car. It was his older sister driving. And when I got in the car, I was stressing. Act cool, bro. Act cool. Hi, how are you? I'm not high. Fuck. She knows. And the rest of the ride was just pretty much silent. I got out of the car and I stumbled all the way over to the front door. At this point, I was praying my mom was asleep. So I called my brother to open the front door.
What's up?
Door. At this point, I'm malfunctioning. I'm trying to explain what is happening to my brother, and it pretty much just went like this. Bro, is mom awake? Bro, holy, you're gone, bruh. I'm sorry, but this is the only way. Huh? What the hell, bruh? I'm not gonna lie, the smack low-key woke me up a little bit. But still, I was way too big to be saved. But at least mom isn't awake.
Chains, get up here right now.
I'm fucked. The jig is up, bro. I slowly walk up the stairs to my inevitable doom. Still high off my ass, I walk into my mom's room and seal my fate. Yeah, bro, I got grounded for a year and a half. And when I woke up to go to school the next day, I was still baked as hell.
Yo, really quick, I wanted to say this video is inspired by Mostly True, the 7 Levels of High video. If you haven't seen it already, go check it out. And I'm not the most experienced smoker, but I generally have 3 stages of being high. The first stage is baked. At this level, you'll start to feel some of the usual effects, like having a dry mouth or dry eyes, but you're still like a normal functioning member of society. It'll make you a little bit happier than usual, make you a little bit more relaxed. But you know that voice in your head that talks whenever you think? It's like it gives that voice a microphone. Your thoughts pretty much become louder and kind of more important in a way. But one of the major side effects that will hit you at this stage is munchies. You're gonna have the urgent desire to absolutely annihilate your cabinet. Your appetite is crazy, but all the food gets like a power up. A $2 junior chicken from McDonald's becomes a delicacy, bro. And on God, I'm not fat, but when I'm baked, I can eat like 10 of them. And that brings me to stage 2. Faded. As soon as you're faded, your thoughts ascend to a different realm of thinking, bro. It's like being baked, except everything is more. Like, the munchies increase. The dry mouth gets drier. And your eyes get more red and more dry. At this point, it's like when you're at the dentist, and you know they use that little vacuum thing to suck all the, like, moisture out of your mouth. And then you're left, like, with your mouth just dry as fuck. And you're kind of just sitting there, like... And if when you're baked, it's like your thoughts got a microphone, now it's like you gave your thoughts like a megaphone with big ass speakers.
I want hot Cheetos.
At this point, a lot of people get paranoid, especially if you're in a public setting, because you're just trying to act as normal as possible, but you're just not a normal functioning member of society at this point. Now, if you were going really crazy, you might make it to stage 3. And now I do have to reiterate that for stage 3 especially, This is just my experience. Now, with that being said, stage 3.
Schlumped.
Your soul and essence has fully ascended. The real world is nothing but noise. You truly and fully ascended into the astral plane. You are one with the planets. You are one with the sun. You are one with
the universe.
Now, after that's it, you're probably going to feel high for like the next week at least. Personally, I would not recommend this stage because I definitely lost some brain cells from that experience. But shit, bro, maybe there was just something else in the weed.
Yo, you can live the rest of your life without breathing.
What? No, you need to breathe.
Hey, watch and learn, my friend. Oh, shit. Would you look at that?
Okay, class. Today, we're going to be studying atoms.
Yes, Chains.
If we're made out of atoms, and we're studying atoms, does that mean atoms are studying themselves?
Chains, are you high?
No.
No.
Damn. You know how everyone says, oh, I took a shit? No, you never take a shit. You leave it.
Yo, guys, I just took the meanest shit I've ever seen.
Hell yeah.
Bro, isn't it crazy that you can imagine what it would feel like to lick any object you look at?
Bro, what? Why are you looking at my balls like that?
Oh, hell no.
You know what I just realized?
Yeah, what?
Walking around with one crowbar is much more suspicious than walking around with 3 crowbars.
Bro, is that your car?
Oh, shit.
Yo, this burger is busting in my mouth right now, bro. I know, this shit is scrumptious.
The ham, it's just exquisite.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, ham? There's no ham in the burger.
It's a hamburger, dumbass. Of course there's ham in the burger.
No, the patty, it's made out of beef.
Bruh, that's like saying a hot dog isn't made out of a dog for Pete's sake.
Damn, your eye is shit. Okay, when I say sun, do you think of day or night?
Obviously the day, that's when the sun's out.
Okay, makes sense. But what if I were to tell you that you see more suns in the sky at night than you do in the day?
Whoa.
You are hereby sentenced to 35 years in jail for repeatedly kicking a pregnant woman.
Objection, Your Honor.
When you really think about it, everyone in this room has repeatedly kicked a pregnant woman before. Even you, Your Honor.
Fuck.
Holy shit. Horses are naysayers.
Sir, I am very sorry to inform you. The STD results came back and you are positive for chlamydia, gonorrhea, trichomoniasis, syphilis, chlamydia, herpes, HPV, HIV, and chlamydia again. Somehow you got 3 cases of chlamydia.
Damn, you know what that made me realize?
That you should wear a condom?
Nah, life is a sexually transmitted disease that will 100% lead to death.
Damn right. Sir, you got 3 days to live.
You ever think about how old cars are looked at like, look at this dude's old ass car. He's broke as shit. Damn, at least my car isn't as old as this dude's. Holy shit, this guy's car is a shitbox. Damn. But look at that vintage car. Wow, that guy's car is insanely old. He's gotta be a millionaire. What the fuck? Is that Fred?